a sinner. Amen. Praise the Lord. I don't have to worry about you. Amen. I don't have to worry about you because I can trust somebody like that. Somebody that doesn't have it all together. The ones I can't trust is that picture perfect person. I can't trust you. And you say, Pastor, why? Again, the Pharisees. Again, Judas Iscariot. Amen. All in the Bible, we notice that there is a danger, not against putting your best foot forward, but there's a danger when it comes to image management replacing heart management. And I want us to understand that many people spend more time protecting their reputation, protecting their image, protecting their social media profile or what people think of them, instead of examining their hearts. And my friends, if you're here tonight and think, hey, I don't need this, this is exactly what you need. Amen? This is exactly what you need. Pastor, do you need it? That's exactly what I need. I need a dose of this medicine. But if you're the type of person that thinks that you don't need it, my friend, 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 7, do you have it, brother? Okay. It says this. But the Lord said unto who? Samuel's the man of God, right? He's the one chosen to anoint the next what? King. Look not on his countenance. In other words, don't look at his what? Appearance. His what? Image. Or on the height of his stature. Maybe he was the same height as Messi. I don't know. Because I have refused him. Amen. I'm kidding. It's okay. For the Lord seeth not as what? Man seeth. How do men and women see? It already tells you, right? On the countenance, on the outside, outward appearance. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth. You know how we see? We look on the what? Outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the what? We are so concerned about what people think of us. Many times we get to this place in life where we have to be careful what we say, how we look. We need to be careful, and I think you should, but I don't think you should be so concerned that you're just willing to please man over God. Amen? Be yourself. This is the one that God died for. Don't try to pull the wool over people. Be sincere. Be genuine. One of the things where I struggled with, I preached at my home church for the youth. I don't know what it was, a youth rally or youth something. And I appreciate it. I'm not concerned what people think of me. You know what I've learned, Ms. Carla? I only have a short time here on earth. I'm going to make the best of it, and hopefully it's impactful for the glory of God. And when I leave, I left not just this country better, but our church better, my family better. Anything I was involved in, I hope that I did my best to leave it better. But I mean, there have been pastors that have asked me to preach. And it's not saying anything, it's not boasting, okay? But I've turned them down. My wife is there to tell you, I've turned them down. Not because I'm special, not because I think I'm all that, or because, you know, I don't go to preach for money anyways. Some people, I get it, they have to preach, amen, for money. I get it. Do your thing. That's not who I am. I'm here to preach the word, the truth, and hopefully it helps you. But my main concern, my main ministry is my family. I've had to turn down preaching engagements. And yes, maybe it could have had an influence in people's lives, probably. But I know for sure these are my people. I know for sure you're my people. For sure, I know that. I don't know about my influence out there in the world. But here's the thing, I don't care. I'm not concerned with it. I know, it sounds weird, right? But this is what I'm trying to tell you. They talk. They whisper. Oh, pray for Brother Zeke because he didn't go preach at. Kid, to me, it's not a concern. I don't know why you would waste your time with that. Because, man, are there not people going to hell? then probably would be wise to invest in those people's lives, right? Or in your church people's lives, amen. Do they not have marriages that struggle? Do they not have people that are struggling financially? Do they not have people that are struggling with relationships? Do they not need a truth? Are there not truth seekers in your church? Be concerned with their souls. Now, I'm not mad. I'm not upset. This is preventive maintenance, okay? What I'm trying to tell us is this. We need to beware of managing our image. Beware. That's a warning. There's dangers to managing your image instead of your heart. My goal, my number one thing of being here is to serve God and to please God and to give God the glory. That's it. If you don't like how I do it, that's okay. Take it to God. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Why do I have to be a topic in your life? Am I really that important to you? And if so, well, please, amen, pray for me then, amen. But here's the thing that I want us to understand. Man always looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. God is reminding Samuel here that while people evaluate what they can see, God always looks at what no one else can see. And what is that? The heart. See, we can fool our family. We can fool our church. We can act like good Christians. We can act like spiritual people. We can fool our co-workers. Man, we can even fool ourselves. Be not deceived, amen. God is not mine. We can fool ourselves. But here's the truth of the matter. We will never fool God, ever. And at the end of the day, we only have one shot at this, right? One life to live. And all we can do is make it count. A person may have the perfect family picture, the perfect social media profile, the perfect church attendance, the perfect smile. But while they're secretly battling bitterness, jealousy, lust, anger, pride, addiction, this is preaching. This is what Jesus looks at the heart of the person. He doesn't care what you look on the outside. And I get it. You should be modest, and men, we should be appropriate in our dress. But what we have inside is what's going to create that. It's going to come out, right? What we have inside. If your attire is not appropriate, then it's because what you have inside. I get that. Our faith is going to work. We have to work that baby, right? But it starts in here. And the issue, again, isn't looking like you have everything put together. That's not wrong. The issue is when the appearance becomes more important than repenting from your sin. No one demonstrates the danger more clearly, I noticed here in the Bible. Well, there's a couple that I guess I can kind of compare to this person, but Judas Iscariot is it for me. Man, for over 3 years, he looked like a faithful servant. For over 3 years, he looked like a faithful disciple of Jesus. For over 3 years, he walked with Jesus. He preached, amen, with the apostles. He witnessed the miracles of Jesus. Are you still with me? Amen. He was trusted with the ministry's finances. Man. And to everyone else, Judas looked what? He looked real. He looked like a genuine disciple of Jesus. But guess who knew? Jesus. Jesus didn't look at his outward appearance. He knew his heart condition. And my friends, tonight, I want us to understand that Judas Iscariot's life teaches us that managing image can never replace a surrendered heart. Here's my first point I'd like to share with you. A beautiful reputation cannot hide a corrupt heart. A beautiful reputation cannot hide a corrupt heart. Matthew chapter 26, verses 21 through 22. Matthew chapter 26, verses 21 through 22 says, "And as they did eat, he said, Verily I say unto you that one of you shall what? Betray me." Was Jesus deceived by Judas? No, he's calling them out. "And they were exceeding sorrowful, and began every one of them to say unto him, Lord, is it I?" When Jesus announced the betrayer among the disciples, I want you to know that no disciple pointed at Judas. What are they doing? They're asking, "Is it I?" Instead, every disciple questioned himself. I want you to understand, this is the real life. We think, man, the Bible doesn't relate. The Bible is not relevant nowadays. Oh, it's relevant. More relevant than you think. It hits right at home. It's like that, roofer is going down through your living room right now, taking down the shingles, taking down that plywood, going straight to your living room. That's what the Bible does. It hits right home. Right where you live, right where I live. It's relevant. Think about it. Judas had built such a convincing reputation, like many of us, that no one suspected him. He looked faithful. He sounded faithful. He acted faithful. Yet his heart was unfaithful. His heart never belonged to who? To Jesus. He was unfaithful. This proves what, folks? Think about it. That people judge what they can what? That's why I don't trust that. Man, you could tell me, right? And you can show me, but at the end of the day, you don't even know what the pastor believes or what he does, right? At the end of the day, you have to think about it. What is the result of that action? What is the result of that behavior? Is there life? Is there something to show for? Or is there death? Amen. I want you to understand that God proves people. He doesn't just judge people. God proves people. He sees what no one else can see. Matthew 23, verses 27 through 28. Woe unto you, what? Here's the other group. Scribes and Pharisees. These people were worried about their image. Hypocrites, for ye are like unto whited sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are within full of dead men's bones and of all uncleanness. How many of you have gone to a cemetery and you see beautiful monuments, beautiful headstones? Raise your hand. Beautiful, right? But they're full with dead men's body, right? Or dead men, women's bodies. They have no life. That life has now ceased to exist, right? Spiritually speaking, some of us look like that. We look great outside, but inside, there's no power. It's not alive. You haven't been feeding the Spirit of God. And I want us to understand that this is not a judgment thing. This is what the Bible does. It convicts. If the suit fits, wear it. Verse 28, even so ye also outwardly appear what? This is the spiritual application. Unto men. But within ye are full of what? Hypocrisy and what? Iniquity. I like this verse because Jesus is condemning hypocrisy. 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 Not because people look clean, but because they care more about appearing righteous than actually being what? Righteous. They wanted the show. They wanted the limelight. They wanted to make sure that they were known for whatever gain, for their image. They wanted to look like the part. But in reality, they didn't spend time with God. In reality, they didn't come to church to really serve others. What? Serve others. Listen, folks, I want us to understand that moving forward in our community, the way we're going to reach people like that man that decided he's going to come Sunday, first-time visitor, is because we got to put our part in this service for God. I want you to understand that, listen, many of you have hard times. Many of you are struggling. Many of you are busy. I get that. But listen, as a church family, we all need to be a part of it. We all need to do our part, right? We all need to do our part. It's not just enough to come and take. No, get involved. That's what won that man over. You know what won him over, Brother Jeremiah? They were playing volleyball. He's like, man, I can never find people that just want to have a good time. He goes, this is a good, clean fun. And by the way, we repeat things like that. It's good, clean fun. We actually remember what we did the night before, amen? But let me ask you, what if we would have not shown up? What if we would have shown up with bad attitudes? How many of you had a hard time last week? Raise your hand. Amen. I'll raise my hand, my toes, and everything. Amen. We all have. Welcome to the club. Right? Welcome to the club. But some of us are still trying to figure out as we grow in our spiritual walk with God how to deal with it. I'm going to tell you how to deal with it. Serve others. Don't just come to church, participate, and then when it's time to help, poof, be gone. You're gone. What happened? Man, I got quiet, eh? And Shante, I wish everybody would be like you and just say, I did too, and I'm sorry. Praise the Lord. At least you admit it, amen? There's a few of us. Here's the thing. That's church. Serve others. I had a brand new man, when we have capable men, a brand new man, actually two brand new men, helping us put up the chairs. I appreciate Brother Zach, amen? Helping us, Brother Benjamin. But two men that don't come to church as much as other of us, helping us, cleaning up. Now, here's the truth. They were wet. They were tired. We're old, right? They were probably decrepit. Amen? They were aching. We had two women. I don't know how many women we have at church. Amen? Two women. I don't know how many women showed up. But two women cleaning up. Oh, no, I'm sorry. Three. Because one of those men's wives helped clean. I appreciate my wife and I appreciate Sarah. Y'all should get a raise. Amen? But where was everybody else? Is this preaching? Amen. No, yeah, amen. Welcome to preaching. Amen. This is preaching. Where was everyone else? You said, well, Pastor, I mean, I just like the events. I just like coming, having fun. I get that. And I'm not against you because you had to go or there's some things that happened and occurred. But you know, when I went to my home church, and I was preaching at the youth conference, you know what I saw? The youth pastor's wife, just like any woman of God that serves in the ministry, and Ms. Carla, you know that, Ms. Deborah, y'all know that, it's lonely being at the top. Because guess who's the one that actually has to pick up the slack, usually? The minister's wife. I saw the youth pastor's wife picking up all the trash. There were like, I don't know, I could be exaggerating, maybe about 200 teenagers. Oh, by the way, youth pastors' wives. Guess what they were all doing? I'm not against people having fun. Have fun. But man, if you're going to see a man of God or a woman of God serving, do you think you should probably ignore them? Or should you help? Do you think you should help? Yes or no? Yes. You know what? It's easier for me to go help Goodwill. This is your church. What are you talking about? You know what? It's easier for me to go do a charitable thing. Go help at a parade. Man, listen, I like baseball, whatever, but I'm not going to help them more than I'm going to help our church. I'm not going to help them more than I'm going to help my family. I have my priorities mixed, don't I? Listen, this is not for show. This is for real. If you want to start making an impact in your family, if you want to start making an impact in your people that God is giving you, serve. Judas, that's not what he was about. You know what he was about? Yes, image. Portraying himself to be something that he wasn't, a servant of God. And Matthew, I love it because it's talking about, even so ye also outwardly appear righteous unto men. Oh, they're in the ministry. Good people. Oh, they're good people. No, they're not. They're just like you and I. They're sinners. What are you talking about? They're good people. They're none of us that are good. We work at this just like anybody else. Hey, I'm a sinner saved by grace. Amen? Amen. If you haven't figured that out, I'm sorry. I don't know how else to pray for you. Get involved. The water's okay. It's okay. Get in. It's okay. But within ye are full of what? That's it right there. Oh, that hurts you. That's not preaching to me. I'm not preaching to anybody. I unleash the word of God and let the word of God go. I'm not here to judge. I'm here to try to tell us as a church and preach preventive maintenance. If we want to reach this area and that man saw what he saw, he said he's been to bigger churches. He goes, they have more things, but there's just something different about your church. If we want to keep that spirit, we got to jump in. Amen? We're going to have to get over ourselves. Proverbs chapter 21. Are you still with me or did I lose you? Amen? I'm still on the first point. Amen? Every way of a man is what? In his own what? But the Lord pondereth the... That's it, folks. A beautiful reputation cannot hide a corrupt heart. People naturally justify themselves. We do that time in and time out. We are basing it on appearance, excuse me, and intentions. But God, He weighs the motives. Are you real? Is it real in you? Ask yourself, am I more concerned with what people think about me than what God knows about me? I don't know how many times I've mentioned this, but we have three types of life. Amen? The public life, the private life, and the... So does your private life align with your public life? It should. I get it. I know this is an outside persona, right? I don't wake up like this. Amen? I'm not my wife's pastor. Some pastors get like an ego trip and then like power trip. Like, I'm my wife's pastor. Oh, okay. No, I'm her husband. Can we keep it 100? And sometimes I don't know what I'm doing. So I'm not going to pull the power mode and say, I'm your pastor, woman. Yield, amen? Because it's not going to go well, amen? But it's not going to happen, amen? I'm not that dumb to do that either, amen? But pastor, you're a man of God. You're a man of the cloth. Yeah, I'm a sinner saved by grace, amen? I'm supposed to be pointing her. I'm supposed to be the spiritual leader of my home and lead by example and point her to who? Jesus. That's it. Right? At the end of the day, Judas fooled even the disciples that they were questioning, God, is it me? But he never fooled Jesus. See, you might polish your testimony. You might iron your Sunday clothes. You might carry your King James Bible, praise the Lord. You might sing in the choir. You might shake the preacher's hand. You might smile to everyone in the church. But eventually, God, you got to understand, it's not inspecting our wardrobe, what we wear. He's inspecting our heart. He's inspecting, are you worshiping when you should be singing? Or are you on your phone? Now listen, if you're on your phone trying to get Bible verses, okay, I'm not against that. But you understand what I mean, right? Are you part of the worship or are you talking? Man, does that preach? Haley, are you talking? No, I'm kidding. I love you, baby. I love you. I got to pick on somebody that won't get offended, amen? But here's the thing. He's inspecting our heart. God is not impressed by a polished image. He's impressed by our hearts. Is it filled with pride or humility tonight? Is it filled with bitterness or forgiveness tonight? Is it filled with a secret sin or holiness tonight? Second point, hidden sin always what? Grows when the heart is ignored. Hidden sin always grows when the heart is ignored. John chapter 12, verses 4 and 6. Then saith one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him. Why was not this ointment? I love this. This is how spiritual fake people are, right? He's trying to look at the spiritual part of it. Wait, that's money? Oh, wait, we're wasting the money on the carpet? Wait, we're wasting the money on that widow? Wait, we're wasting the money on those bus kids? Yeah, Judas, calm down. Why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? Next. This he said, not that he cared for the what? This is how you know it's fake. Man, the Bible gives you the answers, amen? But because he was a what? He was a what? A money-grabbing preacher. Amen? He was a thief and had the bag. He's a treasurer. He was a thief, someone that doesn't tithe, a money-grabbing Christian. Amen? Not just a preacher. And bear what was put therein. Folks, I love the Bible because it's so plain. Judas criticized Mary's worship of Jesus. Isn't that interesting? We're going to call the good bad. He sounded spiritual. He spoke as he cared about helping the poor. But the Bible here tells us Jesus exposed his real motive. His problem wasn't money. His problem was his heart. The theft didn't begin on that day. It's just been hidden for a long time. And ignored. Sin never stays small. What did he end up doing? Selling Jesus for what? Numbers 32, verse 33. Are you still with me? Amen. No? Okay, it's okay. Hidden sin, I'll just say it this way if you're not with me. Hidden sin always grows when the heart is ignored, okay? But if ye will not do so, behold, ye have sinned against the Lord, and be sure, I love this, that your sin will what? Eventually, you can hide it. But what ends up coming out in the light? Your sin. Your sin. Your sin. Judas, your sin. Pharisee, your sin. You can play the part, but secret sin only remains hidden from people. Who brings it out to the light? God. But you think, and it could be in any way, man. It could be in any way. You could have a weak moment, and sometimes we don't understand. We're tempted. That's the day of temptation for us, and we lose it. How many of you ever had an annoying friend? Raise your hand. No? Am I the only one? All right, there's some. Okay, okay. Let me ask you something. If you're at lunch in school, and you sit next to your friend, and let's just say you have an obnoxious friend, right? But you're eating your lunch. You're there before your friend. Your friend arrives, and they're so obnoxious. They say, "Hi, Z. Hi. Hey, do you know about a new game?" I'm like, "Hey, what's going on, Carlos?" No, I'm kidding. I'm not trying to give any names. Carlos, if you're out there, I'm not talking about you. Enrique, neither you. Amen. But anyways, "Hey, how's it going, John Doe?" "Oh, I'm doing good. Have you heard about the new game?" "I'm eating my lunch." "No, what new game?" "This one." "You're it." I'm like, "Okay, man, stop, okay? I'm eating my tacos here. I'm trying to enjoy my meal. If I don't, I'm going to have gas because you're over here interrupting me, okay?" "Oh, okay. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to hurt you." And then hits me. "Man, I already told you, stop. I'm getting in the flesh. I gave him a warning, fair, right? Stop. Stop, John Doe, stop." "Oh, okay, okay. Man, you're just so serious. You're it." Okay, and then I react. Amen? I react. Guess what? How I feel, God revealed it. Amen? I was angry. "Be ye angry and..." But God knows I don't have the patience. God, I lack patience. Amen? I'm going to knock this fool out. For you, some of you would justify it. You would say, "Well, it was justifiable." But what John Doe does that you and I don't realize is, "Oh, ow, ow, he hit me. Oh, did you see that? He hit me. Did he hit me? Oh, teacher, he hit me." The teacher comes. "Zeke, did you hit him?" And that's the pause right there that you don't realize. That's where your sin is hidden. Because you have two choices. "Yeah." Or, "But I'm going to get in trouble." So now God has revealed my sin. You get it? That's how this works. It's not the way we think. God looks at our heart, allows certain things to happen in our lives to reveal that to us. None of us are perfect. Amen? Like I said, I appreciate some of you. You show your sin, I'm like, I could trust you. Amen? You're good. Amen? You're human. I'm glad I could trust that individual. The ones I can't trust are the ones that well polished. Like nothing is wrong. And I'm not saying you have to show that. I'm just trying to explain that secret sin may be hidden from people, but it's not hidden from God. James chapter 1, if you're still with me, say amen. "But every man is tempted when he is drawn away from his own lust," I'm sorry, "of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth what?" Yeah. Sin I don't know if you notice that, but there's stages there, right? It develops. So if you're protecting that pet sin of yours, it's not going to stay small. What's going to happen is it's going to keep growing, and you're going to be an expert in it. What we're talking about, hidden sin always grows when the heart is ignored. Right here, it shows that it begins in the heart before it destroys life. Sin does. Judah's betrayal started long before the pieces of silver. He wasn't enticed by the pieces of silver. He had a stealing problem, a greedy problem, money problem. Right? Don't ignore the small sins. You say, Pastor, what do you mean? Confess your bitterness. Pastor, what do you mean? Repent of your pride. Some of you think like you never do anything wrong. It's everybody else's fault. No, no, it's your fault. Pastor, is it your fault? Yeah, it's my fault. If this church doesn't make it, it's not your fault. It's my fault. Are you listening to me? If this church does not make it, it's not your fault. It's my fault. It's not the outreach ministry leader's fault. It's not the Sunday school teacher's fault. It's not any spiritual leader's fault here. It's my fault. Pastor, it's your wife's fault. No, no, it's my fault. You have to be accountable and take responsibility. If my family doesn't make it, it's my fault. If my marriage doesn't make it, it's not her fault. It's my fault. Are you following me? That's what big boys and big girls do. That's what we do. We take responsibility. And then when John Doe hits you there across the head and the teacher comes, amen, the ordained authority there at elementary, middle school, amen, when that happened, you have to choose. Regardless of the consequence, you have to choose the Father's cup instead of the world's cup. You have to choose and say, yes, I did hit them. It was my fault. Yes, but now I have consequences coming too. Amen. Oh, Wita's going to get that flip-flop and hit me with that chancla. Amen. It's my fault. It's no one else's fault. And you got to get to this place where you realize that sin develops in different stages. It's your fault. It's no one else's fault. You have one life to live. Steward it the best way you can. Make it count. It's your fault. It's my fault. We got to understand that the devil doesn't need your sin to be public. He just needs your sin to stay protected. He just needs you to protect it. He just needs me to protect it. Every secret you refuse to surrender to God becomes another chain around your soul. Sin never remains in the bottom floor or in the basement of your heart forever. Guess what happens? See these stages? Eventually, I don't know how, it creates some kind of stairs. Amen? Eventually, it walks upstairs and everyone gets to see your sin. You say, Pastor, I struggle with this. You better confess it today. Why? Because it might be exposed tomorrow. Third point, just saying. Are you still with me? A heart that rejects Christ eventually, what? Self-destructs. Don't reject Jesus. Don't be a Judas. Matthew chapter 26. Then one of the 12, called Judas Iscariot, went unto the chief priests, next, and said unto them, what will ye give me? And I will deliver him unto you. And they covenanted with him for 30 what? I'm sorry, covenanted with him for what? 30 pieces of silver. And from that time, he sought opportunity to what? Man. Judas, he didn't suddenly betray Jesus. I'm going to tell you something. Betrayal is the final chapter of years of an unchanged heart. When you get to that place, what is it called? Apostasy, right? A reprobate. When you get to that place in your life where you know what's right, and yet you refuse to do it, you refuse to surrender to Jesus, you become that reprobate where Jesus rejects. And eventually, when you don't change your heart, the next step or the final chapter is betrayal. This is what Judas did here. Judas ignored the conviction. When he saw Jesus doing the miracles, he refused to be changed by it. When Judas heard Jesus preach about the Beatitudes, amen? When he heard Jesus preach the Sermon on the Mount, he refused to be convicted. Can I tell you something? Please, beware when you refuse to be convicted by the preaching of the Word of God. Not my preaching, the preaching of the Word of God. Because now you cannot claim to God one day, I did it out of ignorance, God. No, you heard that preacher. You heard the Bible. That preacher you have at Victory Baptist Church unleashed the Word of God to you, gave you the scripture, gave you the references so you can go back home and read it for yourself. See, there's going to be a time of judgment, right? And I get it. We got the judgment seat of Christ. We're not going to burn and go to hell now. But what you did for Jesus, that's on you. What you limited Jesus to doing your life, that's on you. It's not on the preacher. It's not. It's not on the preacher's wife. Amen? It's not on the preacher's wife's sister. Amen? I told my wife, I'm like, man, once Sarah took over, nobody wants to help. Amen? I don't know what happened. Amen? That's for free. Amen? That's just for free. I'm kidding. Sarah and Jeremiah do a great job doing that. Amen? I'm kidding. But here's the truth. It's not just her job. It's not just my job. Amen? It's not just Miss Shante's job or Miss Carla's job. Amen? It's not just Miss Deborah's job. It's all our jobs. We all need to get together. Miss Yahida has a baby. Praise the Lord. We pray for that baby. It's not her job only just to help with the teens. Amen? It's Brother Zach's job. No, I'm kidding. It's not just his job. We all must be what? Inclusive. I appreciate Brother Colin and Miss Valerie. I don't know what they do to my kids. They brainwash them because somehow Miss Deborah, they're giving you a run for your money. Amen? Ezra is always asking for his teachers, amen, and what they learn. So you need to step it up. I don't know what's going on. No, I'm kidding. But here's the thing. It's not just their job to reach these kids. How many of you know kids just around your neighborhood that could probably come to church? Raise your hand. I'm going to raise my hand. I know a couple, amen. Okay, so it's my job then. I mean, come on. We know people. We know kids that probably would do better in our church and grow. My wife and I, that's what we do when we go to these baseball, season? We invite these kids and their parents to come. And they come. And I think two of them came, first-time visitors. What was it, Brooke and Baker? Baker the moneymaker, I call him. Amen? But they came. It's not just their job. It's not just Miss Deborah's job to reach these kids. It's my job. Appreciate my wife. Amen? She's always soul-minded, thinking about, hey, who can I invite to church? But it's everybody, amen? We need to get to this place where we stop rejecting Christ, his work, because eventually what will happen is we'll self-destruct. Luke chapter 22, verse 3. Then entered who? We don't want that, folks. We don't want this in our church. We don't want this definitely in our children. It might seem like there's some demons, but we definitely don't want Satan in there. Amen? Then entered Satan into Judas, surnamed Iscariot, being of the number of the what? 12. Man, Judas, let me ask you something. We have the Holy Spirit, right? The Spirit of God. How does it grow? When we surrender to His will, right? We feed him the word of God, right? We obey it, right? That's us surrendering. How does Satan come into your life and possess you? When you surrender to what? Sin. That's it. It doesn't mean he didn't have a sin problem. Peter had a sin problem. That's why I appreciate Peter. He failed miserably, amen? But praise the Lord, he got back up. Who's the one that had Jesus back? Judas? Peter. What did Peter do? In the Garden of Gethsemane, he took out the what? That Smith & Wesson, amen? Back then it was a sword, but he took out the sword from his sheath. Yeah, sheath. Right? And what did he do? He started chopping up like he was a chef, amen? He started chopping, slicing and dicing. That's what he did. Not a perfect man, but he was real. A sinner, one that cursed, by the way. And Jesus did call him Satan, amen. But he was not the one who Satan entered into. Satan entered Judas, the one that surrendered to sin. Not the one that had the sin problem. We all have sin problems. This is what I'm trying to explain to y'all. We get to choose. In our imperfect way or imperfect manner, we get to choose who we serve. And this is what I'm trying to help us understand. We choose Jesus. And yes, some of us or others might be better than us in walking this journey of faith. I get that. But you don't have to quit. You don't have to be a Judas and self-destruct. At the end of the day, I want you to understand that Judas repeatedly yielded to sin until Satan gained influence over his body or possessed him. See, the betrayal of Judas was at the heart. What do you mean, Pastor? He persistently rejected truth. Don't do that. Let the Word of God convict you. Don't harden your heart. Proverbs 4:23, you say, Pastor, why don't harden your heart? This is why. Keep thy heart with all what? For out of it are the what? That's why. You need to keep it tender. That's why you need to surrender it. Pastor, do you need to surrender it? Yes, that's why. Every day. If I get to that place, and here's the thing I've noticed. If we're not careful, even the one that the people least expect to fall. Because eventually we stop yielding. We stop surrendering to the truth. Who is the truth? I am the way, the truth, and life. Who's the truth? It's Jesus. It's his word. And in Proverbs, everything it's talking about, everything flows from the heart. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of what? Protect it. Protect your heart. You say, Pastor, what happens if I protect my heart? Well, it says, for out of it are the issues of what? Life. If you protect your heart, what follows? Life. Life. You neglect your heart, your life deteriorates, it crumbles. Guard your heart daily. Spend more time in repentance than on reputation. Why, Pastor? Because life eventually crumbles. You know who's not going to follow you? Your followers on Facebook are not going to follow you. But you know who's going to help you? Who's going to have your back? Your family, your church family, your immediate family. Those that love you, those that love the Lord, those are going to be the ones that help you. That's why I'm saying I'm okay with people that are not perfect. You know why? I can trust you. Those are the people that might not have it all together, but I know they're going to have my back. The people that seem to have it all together, my friends, that scares me, because that's what Judas looked like. Follow me? I'm closing. Judas kissed the face of Jesus while he was betraying him. Okay, I guess let me put it this way. Judas was kissing the face of the Savior while there was betrayal in his heart, while he rejected the truth. Man, that must be some kind of person, right? Man, that must be some type of individual to do that. This is what happens with hypocrisy. You can be close to Jesus, and it looked like physically, right? Oh, man, they look like they're close to Jesus. They go to church every Sunday. Oh, they look like they're close to Jesus. They serve in the church. Again, we can look it, but we could be like Judas and be spiritually distant or far away from him. That's what Judas was. And I notice here that Judas probably would have been the one that would be in church. He would have a good church attendance, but I'm going to tell you something. Even Judas being in the ministry with the disciples and the apostles, it couldn't replace repentance. He still had to choose, right? Religious activity, folks, cannot replace surrender. God is not asking you to have a polished image
He's calling you to yield your what? Your heart. Because that's what he looks at. He doesn't look at the outward. He's looking at the inward person, your heart. Well, Pastor, that sounds great. Well, here's the question I want to ask, okay? Here's the great question. It's not, what do people think about me, okay? I'm going to tell you that. But this is the one that I used to be afraid of, and now I'm not afraid anymore because I want him to know. It's the question where, what did God find as he searched my heart? I used to be afraid of that, Miss Deborah, but now that I'm a father and a husband and a pastor, I need that. I need that. I need that searchlight, because there are things that I might be unaware of because I'm a certain way or I grew up a certain way, but God shows it to me. But this is what I'm trying to tell you. Be surrendered. Always allow him to search your heart. The question is, what did God find when he searched my heart? Bow your head, close your eyes. Psalm 139, 23 and 24. It says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way of what? Everlasting." See, Judas teaches us this truth. Man, you can maintain an impressive image while neglecting your heart. As the piano plays, God is never deceived by appearances.